John chapter 1, starting with verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Who's he there? That was Jesus. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. How many know Jesus made everything? Yeah, but I thought I learned at the university that they said, I learned in my high school biology class, how many know the scientists used to think the earth was flat too? No, I said the scientists used to believe that. How many know the scientists used to believe that everything revolved around the sun? How many know the scientists used to believe that the sun was the biggest star in our solar system? How many know there is something at least 600 times bigger than the sun? Well, who believed that? The scientists believe that. What am I saying? I'm just saying that there's all kinds of things that the scientists believe that aren't very scientific. Amen. Here, let me just give you one. I can give you many, 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 many. But it's important. Listen, because this is really important, because Christians back off this. We think, oh, we're not very smart and they're smart. No, the only reason you think they're smart is they keep on saying how smart they are. You can say amen to that. Amen. The only reason you think they're smart is they keep on saying how smart they are. But if they're saying something that contradicts the Word of God, guess what? They're not very smart. Amen? And I'm not trying to be controversial. I'm just trying to say, as Christians, we need to recognize what God says is true. Listen, when all this is, at some point in time, everything in here you're going to find out is absolutely true. Absolutely true. Everything that was made, Jesus made it. Everything. And so, I know, I was going to tell you the one thing. Just one thing. You know what? If evolution is true, then where's the fossil records? Where's the fossil records? Guess what? They don't exist. And if you ask somebody like that, you know what I mean? They'll just... Let me tell you what. Everything that was made by Jesus. Verse 4, in him was life, and life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. We looked at this, and not only did the darkness not comprehend it, but they didn't want to comprehend it. And Jesus said it like this, he who has ears, let him hear. Everyone makes a choice whether they are going to accept, we're going to look at it in a minute, whether they're going to accept Jesus or whether they're not. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. That's John the Baptist. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, and all that all through him might believe. John the Baptist was pointing to Jesus. Why is he doing that? Because he understands his position as someone that is supposed to say, look. How many know that's also our position? Our position is to say, hey, look. Jesus changed my life. He brought wholeness in my life. He brought healing in my life. He changed my life. My life is better because of him. That's John the Baptist's position, but how many know that's our position? How many know? You say, Pastor, I don't know my ministry. I do. You know what ministry you've been given? You have been given the ministry of reconciliation. You are to reconcile all your friends to Jesus Christ. All your friends, you know what? When all your friends need to be introduced to Jesus Christ. And they need to be introduced to Jesus Christ by your words and by your actions. And there's some people, they're like, I just show people God by my actions. Well, you from the heart the mouth speaks. You also need to testify in the goodness of God. But there's other people who just talk about the goodness of God, but you know what? They don't show the goodness of God. I had a friend, and at the time I was playing racquetball pretty consistently. Thought I was, you know, it's all relative, you know what? But I thought I was pretty good. And this guy, I don't know what I was. I was maybe, I don't know, 30 years old. This guy was like 18 years old, and really, really big talker. And he was like, man, I'm going to cream you. I'm going to cream you, man. I'm going to cream you. And I remember thinking, because it was like, we're going to play Monday. And I remember Saturday come on. I thought, man, I'm going to get my chops down. I'm going to do some practicing before I play this guy. Because I thought this guy was going to be really good. And he was younger than me. And so I knew he was quick and fast. He was pretty athletic, pretty athletic too. So I thought, man, I don't want to embarrass myself. And I thought I had my chops down, but I wanted to practice up just to make sure. And so, you know what, Saturday I was practicing. So Monday came, and sure enough, I played him. And I won the first point, won the second point, won the third point. And then as I was playing, I was like, oh, my goodness, this guy doesn't even know how to play racquetball. Hello, somebody. I mean, didn't even know how to. He was like, you know what, I mean, just bad. You know what I mean? And so I don't know what the first game was. You know what? We played to 15, 15 to 1 or something stupid like that, 15 to 2 or 15 to nothing for all I know. And then the second game was, the same thing, like 15 to 1. And then the third game, I was like, okay, this is ridiculous. You know what? I'm going to play easier on him so we can at least have some competition. And that game, I think I won, 15 to 5 or something. Okay, right? Three games. And I think the most he scored was 5, and that was just because I was playing easy on him. Okay. Come to church on Tuesday. He's a friend at church. Come to church on Tuesday. And he comes in, and he's like, man, you know what? I almost whooped you. I'm like, what? What are you talking about? He's like, yeah, I almost whipped you. I'm like, EJ, what are you talking about? His name was EJ, or we called him EJ. I was like, EJ, what are you talking about? He was like, well, couldn't you see? Like, I was just getting warmed up. Like, if we would have played in the fourth game, I would have whooped you. Unbelievable. What am I saying? I'm saying, you know what? Talk is cheap. I was thinking, man, I should have just whooped him 15-0 three games and really, just shut him up. But I just thought, you know what? Listen, we need to be like John the Baptist, to be pointing to Jesus all the time. Why? Because people all around us need Jesus. Amen. Listen, they don't need they don't what do they call that exercise bike? What do they call it? They don't. How many know they don't need a Peloton? They don't need that. You know what I mean? How many need? No, they don't need a new microwave. Amen. How many know they don't need, you know what, a Starbucks card? I mean, all those things are nice gifts, but let me tell you what people need. People need Jesus. And John the Baptist understood his role. You say, yeah, but John the Baptist had a specific role absolutely he had that specific role. But can I tell you what? You have that specific role also. And it's not like John the Baptist's role. It's a different time and it's a different place. Listen, and it's to different people. But the Bible says you have been given the ministry of reconciliation. To reconcile men to God. To introduce men to God. You say, Pastor, but I don't feel comfortable doing that. Well, welcome to Christianity. Amen. We have to be really cognizant why? Here's why. Because how many come to church almost every Sunday? Raise your hand if you're coming to church almost every Sunday. Raise your hand real high. You're almost here. Almost. Not every, but almost every Sunday. You ready? Okay. How many come almost every Wednesday? Okay. See, we got to be careful. Can I tell you why? Because we think, and I'm including myself in that bunch. We think, oh, Pastor, that was an awesome sermon on spending time with God. Listen, just because you heard a sermon about spending time with God doesn't mean you're spending time with God. All it means is you heard a sermon about that. Man, Pastor, that was an awesome sermon on not being selfish. Great. Listen, even me preaching a sermon about not being selfish doesn't mean that I don't have opportunities this week to be selfish. Does that make sense? Although, can I be honest with you? A wonderful, wonderful, wonderful evangelist taught me once. He said this. He said, preach what you're walking in. Now, there's two points to that. One thing he's saying is, don't be a hypocrite. John Maxwell taught this in one of his books on leadership. It was the first chapter, and it's called The Law of the Lid. And here's the reality. I really can't, as the spiritual father of this house, you really won't go beyond what I'm doing. So I need to make sure I'm not just telling you what to do, but I'm doing it. Does that make sense? But number two, if I'm doing whatever I'm preaching to you, then there's going to be this passion of me being more authoritative in really instructing you to do it. Does that make sense? We need your position as much like John the Baptist's position in that he is pointing people to Jesus. And your position is the same position. Different in that it's a different time, you're amongst different people, but you've been given the ministry of reconciliation. So have I. And so, how many know we only have a little bit of time left? How much little time? I don't know. For all I know, you know what? God's going to wrap it up between now and Christmas. Well, how many know you can reach some people between now and Christmas? Amen? Well, what if it's between now and next Christmas? What if you knew the day that you were going to die? What if
What if you knew you had 1 year left? Would you change how you acted? Would you? You change how you act?
Oh, yeah.
How many think you'd change how you acted? How many would be honest enough to say, you might go home tonight and evaluate things for sure? Is that not right?
Yeah.
How many know you might tell your kids a little bit more how special they are? How many know you might kiss your wife a little bit more passionately tonight? How many know you'd probably be more focused on introducing people to Jesus? Well, Pastor, I think I got 5 years left. I don't know. Maybe you have. I'm not saying anybody's going to get hit by a car in the next. I'm not saying that. What I'm just trying to point out is, we don't know. So can we just be passionate about, and I believe if the Lord doesn't come, we all have been given 120 years. I'm talking about healthy 120 years. Verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness. See, that's you. How many know this place is getting dark? Yeah, but how can I shine? Greater is he who is inside you. The light that is inside you is supposed to shine that others would see your works and glorify God.
Amen.
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 And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Well, they're all going to choose what they're going to do. But listen to me. But you don't be pessimistic about how evil everybody at your work is. Amen? No. You believe the best in people. How many know a lot of times if we picked the people who we think are going to accept Jesus, we'd pick the wrong ones. Is this not true? Sometimes you just scratch your head and say, I can't even believe that person. I can't even believe they accepted Jesus. Some of you were like that. Amen? All your friends would have thought, man, you're never going to come to Jesus. But guess what? You're sitting here today. Amen? So don't start to get pessimistic about, don't start to figure it all out. It's not your job to figure it all out. It's just your job to preach the gospel. Amen. And it's your job to be optimistic and not pessimistic about people. See, believe the best in people. Don't believe the worst in people. Amen. How many thank God that God believed the best in you? Amen. Don't get all self-righteous. They're smoking dope and they're sleeping with this person and I like what I heard one guy say. He says, sinners know how to sin. So don't be shocked. Don't be all, Amen. Listen. There's this real good balance where some people get way too comfortable with unrighteousness. Don't misunderstand me. Don't become comfortable with unrighteousness. But don't ever get self-righteous either. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Verse 6.
There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. That is an incredible statement. Okay, here's the deal. Look what it says. That all through him might believe. That all, watch this, through a man might believe. You know, you can play a very critical role in someone coming to Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not saying in this room, there might be some of you who just, you know what, you were walking down the road and you just felt like, man, I need to, you know what, I just need to start going to church. But for most of us in this room, how many know there was someone that was critical in introducing you to Jesus Christ? Watch this. I'll prove it to you. Raise your hand if there was somebody that was critical in introducing to you, showing you, being an example, leading you to Christ. Raise your hand if that was you. Look all over the room. All these hands up. Why? Because, and that should speak to us. Now, watch this. Now God hands that baton off to you and says, okay, now you be critical in helping somebody else come to the Lord.
Right. Amen.
Amen. And let me tell you who is first on your list. First on your list is your kids, your parents, your grandparents, your aunt, your uncle, the people that are all around you. Your neighbor, the guy who cuts your hair. Does this make sense? But you be that person. My wife tells her testimony, and her testimony is this, that she was driving on Orange Avenue in Costa Mesa, and she heard a voice that told her, you need to start going to church. And she says it was so real that she turned around into the back seat thinking, huh? Now, she doesn't say it was audible, but she describes it as very real. So, yeah, see, Tamara wasn't like that. No, wait, time out. Let me back up Tamara's story. Let me tell you what story most of you don't know. Tamara is in elementary school, and she's walking home. And as she walks home, there's a church, a local church, and they have Bible clubs. And in the Bible club, if you went to the Bible club, you got a candy. So guess what she did? She went to the Bible club, and she got some candy. Now, at the Bible club, they're teaching her about Jesus. What are they doing? They're fishing. Are they not fishing? How many know what they're fishing for? Come on, somebody help me out. How many know what they're fishing for? They're not fishing for fish. They're fishing for what? They're fishing for men. That's what they're fishing for. They're not trying to catch fish. They're trying to catch people to come into the kingdom of God. And they're doing that by kid giving her a candy. But she not only gets a candy, guess what else she gets? She hears the uncompromised word of God. Amen. Listen, when we get to heaven, I'm going to ask Jesus, hey, Jesus, what church was that?
Can you point me to where the pastor lives up here somewhere of that church? Because I want to go to that pastor. And I want to thank him. Because years later, at a certain time, she's driving down Orange Avenue, and that seed that was sown took root in her heart, and it bloomed. And that day, she decided to make a list. And she made a list of three different churches to go to. None of them Mesa Bible Chapel. Well, how come she started going to Mesa Bible Chapel? Because one afternoon, I went in to the grocery store where she was transferred to that grocery store, and she was, I forget if she was counting out or counting in. I think she was counting out and I was counting in. Whatever it was, we were both counting our tills. And I was talking to her, and I said, "What did you do today?" And she said, "I went to church today." Well, praise the Lord. I love church, and that is cool. So I said, "Where do you fellowship?" And she didn't know what fellowship meant. And she said, I just decided to go to church. And this Sunday, I went to this church. I knew what church it was. And she said, "Next Sunday, I'm going to try another church. And then I'm going to try another church. And after I try those three churches, I'm going to figure out what church I'm going to go to." And guess what I said? I said, "Man, you ought to try my church." Amen. Here's my point. My point is that you have a role to play. And we many times think, "Well, I'm just whatever. Pastor, I don't communicate the gospel like you. You know, I don't know how to sing, or I don't, you know what I mean? I'm not whatever we come up with." No, you know what you have? You have your testimony. And your testimony about how God saved you. We don't have time. You know what? If we just started with Rebecca and say, "Rebecca, tell us about how Jesus came into your life. Tell us about how that went." Oh my goodness. How many know it would be a phenomenal story? Yeah. We'd go like, "Wow, that is cool." Do you understand what I'm saying? And we could go just down the road and just ask each one of you, "How did Jesus come into your life? Tell me how that happened." And it would just be awesome. And in every single story, I can almost guarantee you, there were people who were significant. You say, "Pastor, maybe, watch this, maybe that pastor of that church, maybe he didn't even teach those kids' classes. Maybe it was a volunteer. Maybe they had to get off work early to come and teach that class. Maybe nobody patted them on the back. Maybe they walked away sometimes and just thought, "Man, these kids aren't even listening to me." You know what? Maybe, watch this. Maybe he looked at Tamara and thought, "I don't even think this person's listening to me. I think all the reason she's come is just to get that candy." No. Let me tell you, brother. Let me tell you, sister. You are effective in the kingdom of God if you will be willing to be used by God. If you will open up yourself and say, "God, I believe that God is going to use me today." Amen. If all we do is just open up ourselves and say, "God, listen, think about it for a minute. You know who God uses? You know all who God uses is people that are, here, let me ask you. How many of you are perfect? Raise your hand if you're perfect. Nobody? How many know there was nobody in the Bible that was perfect except Jesus? And how many know God used people imperfect all the time in the Bible? How many know John the Baptist was imperfect? See, it's time that we stop thinking that, you know what, listen, I will start to be used of God as soon as I, whatever the thing is. Here, let's talk about this for a minute. How many know, for many of you, you're in this process? Listen, it's Satan lying to you. Because here's the deal. How many know when you finally get control of that sin? I don't know what sin it is. When you finally get control of that sin, how many know there's about 8 others on your list? Listen.
And Satan, the Holy Spirit hasn't even told you about the 88 others that you don't even know yet. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Because if he revealed to you there's 8 and then 88 beyond that, you just go, No, but that's not how the Holy Spirit is. He says, look at how good you've been doing this last year. Look at where you're at. Look at how much better you're doing. Look at where you're at. No, you're doing well. Now, you know what? Yes, we're dealing with this, but we got this. My point is, if you're always waiting, it's just a deception. And you, because as soon as you get done with that one, as soon as you check that off your list, you're not going to go, now I can minister. Why? Because the same Satan will come and show you the 7 other things on your list. And say, see? And watch this. And so you're on this constant positioning. Listen to me. Constant positioning to get perfect. And the whole time, Satan is saying, the whole time you're on the sideline and God needs you in the game. Because I have a whole book of people that God used radically, and none of them except Jesus were perfect. So get in the game. Get in the game. Recognize you're not perfect, but you know Jesus. You're not perfect, but you have a testimony. You're not perfect, but Jesus needs you. You're not perfect, but you have been placed in a very strategic place. Okay, I'll end with this. When I was working in the grocery store, how many know God strategically put me there? You want me to prove it? How many of you have been blessed by the personality, the ministry, the testimony, of my wife? Raise your hand if you've been blessed by that. Okay, you're very welcome. You said, that's not you, that's Jesus. I know, duh. He gets all the glory, I know. I'm not trying. But understand that God had put me strategically in that place, strategically in that time. Hello? You're welcome. Aren't you glad that I was bold to say, well, you ought to come to my church? Let me just tell you what. I am unashamedly there are so many churches out there, and thank God, you know what, that they are preaching the gospel. Amen? But I want to say this, and I want you to understand this. But there are so many churches that are preaching Jesus Christ, and they're not telling anybody about the Holy Spirit. Amen. And the Holy Spirit is someone. Jesus said this, don't you leave, told 120, told all the apostles, don't you leave Jerusalem until you get filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Don't you leave. Don't you go into ministry. Why was I? No. You need to try my church. Why? Because my church was a church where we taught the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, Pastor, that's, you know, what's the big deal? Oh, it's a big deal. Amen. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. And listen, if it were up to me, every single pastor in Southern California would preach on the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
That's right. Amen.
Why? Because it's important. Are you kidding me? You know what? A third of the Trinity, and we're not going to mention his importance. All the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Somebody say gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we're not going to talk about it. Amen. And all we're going to talk about is the fruit. No, I want to talk about the fruit, but I want to talk about the gifts too. Side note, I'll finish with this. Aren't you glad that God, watch this, strategically put me there in that position? Now watch this. And aren't you glad that at that day, you know what, when I looked at Tamara, I went like this. Okay, God. Go ahead, use me. That's not what happened. You know what I mean? No. I freely you have received, freely give. I have been placed. You know what? The steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. You know what? I need to be ready in season and out of season. You know what? From the heart, the mouth speaks. I need to be preaching the gospel in season and out of season. What's that mean? It means I'm always ready to preach the gospel. I'm always ready to say, you know, how awesome Jesus. Imagine this. How in the world? When is God not awesome? When did you not have a testimony? When do you not have something awesome that Jesus Christ did for you? How? I love you guys. How dare us not preach the gospel? How dare us not speak up? How dare us not say how much God loves us to other people? How dare us not share with people who are hurting and need Jesus desperately? How dare us not? But yeah, but they might. Who cares what they think? Who cares if they call us, you know what, all the homophobic, all the things that they call us. Let me tell you about Jesus. There is no one that loves hurting people more than Jesus. There's no one that is able to look past any of our sin like Jesus does. Why? Because he's the one who went to the cross for those sins. Yeah, but they might call, let them call you what they want. You know, after a while, that, you know, Tamara called me fake. You heard her testimony. Did she call me fake? Did she think I was phony? And I'm like, oh, you call me phony. I don't sweat her. Why in the world? Why wouldn't she call me phony? She don't know anybody who's really got the joy of the Lord. Everybody else is happy one day and sad the next and happy one day. And then she gets around me and I'm happy every day. Like, what in the world? This guy bugs me. Of course that bugs me. Well, listen to me. Of course that bugs her. You know why that bugs her? Because she's convicted of her sin. But at some point in time, you know what? She looked at that and said, man, how come, you know what, I want to be like that. You know what? She went home. All her, you know what? Her brother met her. Her brother met her like in a hallway one time. And because, you know what, I mean, you know how families talk, you know what I mean? And they're all talking about, ooh, Tamara got born again. She's one of those born agains, crazy born agains, you know what I mean? And she was, and he was like, you know what, in her face saying, hey, you know what, whatever going on, but don't give me all that Jesus stuff. She's like, nobody's talking about it but you. But at some point in time, her dad came to Jesus. Amen. And her mom came to Jesus. And her brothers and sisters all came to Jesus. Amen. Why? Because they saw what she had. How many glad you came today? Yeah. Father, help us to recognize the positioning that we have. Help us to see. Listen to my prayer. Help us to see whether we're at work or whether we're at school or whether we're at home or no matter where we're at, help us to see the awesome opportunities that we have. Help us not to lose those opportunities. None of them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.